Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 33 of 150. Hustler Casino Live 3/23/22. Part 2. The session continued. So last you heard, I just got wrecked, as Ryan put it under my name on the graphics. And that was the pocket aces hand that I opened, and everything was getting 3-bet, and it just didn't get 3-bet. And it came 8-8-4, and it was 4 ways, and check to Vegas Vin, he bet. Raver called, I called, turn deuce. Check to him, he bet. I just called. And then river 4, check. And I just thought it was such a good give-up spot for him with bluffs. I thought it was obvious that anyone would call with, like, ace high or maybe even king high. Then I folded aces. I leveled myself. And a.k.a. I got wrecked. And I don't know. It's a tough one. I've been thinking about that hand in, you know, the days to follow. And I still don't know that I should be calling there. I mean, sure, he had jack 7 offsuit, but I just don't. I think, like, long term, it's probably the right fold. I don't know. I'm sure I'll talk to some people about it this week when I head back up to the Hustler. Anyways, back to the timestamps. At 3:59:20, what does that mean? That means 3.5 hours into the show, because the first 30 minutes, just a countdown, is the quote unquote bailout hand. So I just folded aces, and now I get ace-queen, and it's 10-20-40, and I opened to 140, and I was watching this, and I remembered why I was opening to 120. Why did I go to 140? Because I was going to limp, and then at the last second, I decided something made me think, no, an open's better than a limp here, and I think maybe I was thinking I could probably 4-bet here. I shouldn't be worried that I'm not going to get 3-bet just because I didn't when I had aces. That was just an anomaly in this game. So I went to limp for a limp re-raise, and then at last minute changed my mind to no open, have someone 3-bet and 4-bet. And it worked out perfectly. I opened to 140, and Vegas Vin went to 300. Richard called, Ted called, Ernie called, Raver called. And I went to 1300. I think this looks pretty strong. Might fold out some smaller pairs. I could have gone to 1500. I went to 1300. It's not that big a deal. I could have even come bigger, but Richard called, Ted called, and Raver called. So nice bloater here, over 5K in the middle, and it comes bailout, ace, queen, deuce, two tone. So I have top two. I don't think anyone is likely to have anything. I'm blocking the whole board. Two spades. And anyways, you can bet here, but I just felt like if I bet, the hand was over. And I'm going to check. I got some people behind that might want to bluff. Or if they have an ace, bet it. Or if they have a flush draw, bet it. Or if they have a queen, bet it. And, Richard looked like he wanted to bet. And he didn't, and no one did. Okay. The turn is, I think it was a 3. Ace, queen, deuce, two spades, offsuit, 3. And now I decided to bet. I wanted to check one more time. I think that's good. And then someone might bluff. I didn't know the players that well. I didn't study any of the players. No, I didn't do any of that shit. So I didn't know Richard. And I got to play with him a bunch more after the stream. And I think knowing him now, I would check again on the turn. My thought on the turn was ace, queen, deuce. I checked there because I just have the board locked up. But the 3 comes Well, I think pocket fours or fives will call me in this game. And you got to start putting some money in. And I just didn't think anyone was likely to bluff that turn card. But playing with Richard Moore, he's got a lot of heart. I think he would have if I had checked twice, because he acted like he wanted to bet on the flop. And if I checked again on the turn, I think he would have bet. And he probably would have, you know, I didn't have that much money. So it probably would have been all in for me. And he just had a gut shot, turns out. Anyways, I bet 2K and he called with King Jack. And so he didn't think I had much. And everyone else folded. And I only had like a little over 2K left. And the river's a brick. And I just went all in, hoping he had an ace rag, king queen, something like that. And he just had king high. And he thought about it for a bit and folded. So it's kind of a bailout to just, you know, bloat the pot with ace queen and get all this action and flop top two. And that was the best I ran in any hand on stream, no doubt. But so then I was watching. So what I did is I played on Wednesday. And then you'll hear I played into Thursday morning, just at that same table. We just kept the game going. And then on Friday night into Saturday night, back at my apartment in San Diego, I watched the stream finally. The chat was turned off, thank God, probably. But I watched it, and I noticed, you know, I thought I played worse than I did. I didn't play, you know, every hand great. But I thought I played worse than I did. But another thing is, I could tell I was in my head. I mean, I knew I was in my head when I was playing, but you can see it. I was just in my head kind of all day, just, you know, tired and overwhelmed, and not like a mess or anything, not like an outward obvious mess, but just in my head, just not calm. There was that monkey on my back, and yeah. I don't think it was that I was nervous. I was just overwhelmed with all this new shit that I've been doing. I've had so many changes this year. I've moved. I've got a new car. Last year, I became a commentator in front of thousands of people, and now I'm playing in front of thousands of people. And, I'm hosting games, and I'm playing bigger now, just after 5 years of being stuck in the mud. So it's whatever. Also, another thing I was thinking on this late Friday night and into Saturday morning as I was watching the stream is, man, I lost 10 pounds since the beginning of the year. Thank God, because I still look really puffy. And I wrote, it's because I never sleep, never exercise, never fuck, never do anything. So I was tilting when I was writing these notes. It's going to happen when you work every night. Sometimes you're going to tilt late at night, and that's what was going on. And I'm not meaning to complain. I've been incredibly fortunate this year and in the last couple years. I'm not trying to complain at all. I'm trying to tell the story of how I was feeling. Often I relive the session, how I was feeling in the session. And for some reason, because it feels right, I'm telling you how I was feeling when I was composing the notes. And a lot of people like that. Some people judge it, but I'm not really worried about judgmental folk. A lot of people just enjoy the solidarity, the imperfection that I am, and the unabashed approach I take to telling my story. Anyways, at 4:30, so 40 minutes after we started playing, Ted's trying to get a flip, and I'm not in a position to flip with him, but these other guys are up heaps, and I think they should flip with him. I think that's right. If I was up 15K in the session, I would flip for 5K. That's just part of it. Like, he's giving the most action. It's not because he doesn't know how to play poker. He does. It's because he wants to gamble and he has lots of money. And so, I don't know. I just heard myself at 4:30 telling people they should flip with him. And I don't know. I also had allergies, as mentioned. I could see that making a lot of those facial expressions where you're trying to hold in a sneeze and, and short on sleep and drinking sugar-free Red Bull and like just kind of wired and tired and all that shit. And it's just what I was noticing when I watched the show back. And again, the chat had been turned off, so I couldn't see what people were writing about me. And that's probably a good thing. And at 4:32, I put the straddle on to 160. So even though I'm in my head, I know where I'm at. I'm in an action game. Action game, you can't even, you know, you got to put the straddle on or the re-straddle or the re-re-straddle or whatever it is. I put on the 160 and someone opened for 2,000. I think it was Ted. And I had king five. I folded and they rabbit hunted and it came king high. And then it's almost like I got a little bit sad, it looked like to me when I was watching it back. Because me that had money, I'd probably fucking gamble here against Ted. But I just folded. I put on the 160. I folded. It was king five suit. I folded to 2K. That's what you do when you're not rich. When I was rich or, you know, just flush, I wouldn't be folding that to one raise from Ted. I don't know. I got a little sad about, whatever. It's all sleep for me, to be honest. If I get good sleep, I can handle anything. If I don't, I'm a little baby, and I could tell I was being a little baby there. Not like I wasn't weighing on people. I could just see it in myself watching the stream back. Next hand, it's open at 2K. I have queen seven offsuit. Got to let that go as well. And yeah, we're playing 10, 20, 40, 80, 160. That's a big game. That's high stakes for sure. And I'm just looking at the hand. You know, every hand's taking a long time because there's lots of talking, posturing, all-ins, counting. And I have 9-4 offsuit, jack-3 offsuit, 10-7 offsuit. Just nothing I can do. So, and then something happens. Ernie calls, I think, 5 or 600 with 5-deuce offsuit. And I smiled when I saw that. And I really, if you think it's because he's bad, nah, it's because he's rad. And that's what it is. He also knows how to play poker. And when he wants to gamble, he will gamble. So a lot of people think like, oh, that guy's a whale. He called with 5-deuce offsuit. I mean, kind of. He chooses to do that. The joke's not on him. He already won in life. He's fucking around here while the rest of us are taking it so serious. I don't know. I just thought it was awesome and thought it was worth mentioning in this podcast. At 4:30, 9:30, it had been 40 minutes since I had V-pipped. 40. And I don't like that in any game. It just seems too long. But if it's a game I'm just a person sitting at, I give enough action in general. It's okay. I was card dead. If it's a game I'm hosting, no, I probably should play a hand soon. And if I'm on stream for the first time, and I do believe I can bring a lot of value to the stream as a player, and it would be valuable to me as well. It'd be mutually beneficial. The shit I live for. Well, your first time, you better not fold for fucking an hour straight. And so, I do think long term. I have ever since 2008. I gotta play a hand. I gotta play. I was limp re-raising with ace nine offsuit, whatever. Well, Dylan opens in the cutoff and he's having a really good night and he's playing way more solid than I thought he was going to. I wouldn't have invited him if he was going to play that solid because it's just not that entertaining and it's not what the rest of the table is doing. And I'm not saying he's not allowed to. He can, but I wouldn't have invited him if I knew he was going to play just solid. He opens to 400 and I have 6-deuce of hearts on the button. It's a shitty hand, but at least it's fucking suited. And I went to 1400. And of course, Ted called and Ernie called and then Dylan called. Okay. So four ways for, you know, we have 5830 in the pot. And the flop comes queen 7-4 rainbow. I love these flops personally, multi-way after being the three better. I like putting a half size pot bet out there, which is going to be huge. And I don't think you just fold out everything. You just fold out pretty much everything, right? And I'm not worried about him having ace queen too much because he didn't seem that strong pre-flop. And it's just like, even ace queen, you can't love when I bet 3,000. I bet 3,000 and they're going to have to call out of position. It's not a good spot. And the other two players folded and Dylan called. Okay. And so I'm probably going to shut down because I have known this kid to be sticky. That's why I invited him, because he's action and sticky and whatever. He's a cool kid, but then again, he's playing way different because the stakes are bigger. We usually play 2-5-10 and occasionally bigger 5-10-20. Well, this is 10-20-40-80-160. So it's just. I don't know. I know my man, like, he just never folds. That's one of the things I like about him. It's just, he's action. And But on this night, he's been folding a lot. And he's just been playing kind of solid because he's been running hot and he's up fucking 15K or whatever. And anyways, there's 11,830 in the pot. And I, well, the turn's a five of hearts. So queen, seven, four, rainbow, turn, five of hearts. Now there are two hearts. I'm open-handed with a flush draw. And this is a pretty automatic stuff when it checks to me. He has one pair. He's capped at one pair. And it's sketchy to call with one pair here because the only thing you're going to beat from me is going to be something that picked up hearts. But I don't know that I would bet. I think my 3K bet's pretty polarized on the flop, so I don't think I'd be betting like ace, king of hearts, like three. I don't think I would, to be honest. So it's just a sketch for him. And anyways, I stuffed it in there. And, you know, if he calls, obviously I need to bink. I'm going to be about a 2-to-1 dog. And I'm watching, and he's just thinking. And I had to pause it to go take a piss. And then, you know, I was working on this shit late at night, shirt off, and I was thinking, man, what the fuck? I do need to lose weight. I haven't had one slice of pizza this year, one burger. I've had a few fries, but, like, I haven't even really been drinking this year. What the fuck, man? And I was just thinking, like, how hard is it to, like, drop some pounds? And I know that I have to sleep, and I just haven't been. But I was just tilting because I was waiting for him. I knew he was going to call, right, because I already lived it. But when I was watching it, I had to take a piss while he was tanking, and I yeah, so I mean, I was tilting pretty hard Friday, March 25th became Saturday, March 26th, and I was watching this back and working on my notes. Normally, I keep notes at the table. Obviously, we don't have phones, so I'm gonna watch the show back, and I don't know if I'll always timestamp it like this. It was a lot of work, and four drops a week instead of three, whatever. It seemed like the right thing to do, but I was thinking about the hand. I think a lot of times people will call once there and hopes that I shut down or that they pick up backdoor flush draw. And anyways, it's a bad spot for him, but he calls it off. He calls, you know, and the pot goes to over $26,000. And I'm opening it with a flush draw, but, you know, I'm not a new pro, so I don't love it at all when he calls. I wanted him to fold, and it wasn't that he had a read. No, he wasn't even looking at me, and I was watching myself. And there was nothing to read, I don't think. It was just he knows that I bluff a lot, and he's just going to call it off with top pair because he doesn't like folding top pair. He just, you know, whatever. And we run it twice, and I break down both. I lost my initial buy-in of 6,900. And, okay, so it's been a while since I was stuck 6,900. I'm trying to think how long, but it's been a while. So I got to get chips out of... I have my backpack at a table, which may be the first time ever, but I couldn't think of what else to do to have chips on me. So I get a 5K chip out, and I, you know, get some change from Dylan, and I'm back in the action. And when I was working on these notes, I was having my one Belgian beer at the end of the night. That's all you got when you just work all the time. And I was done with it, and I was thinking, should I get a small one too? Like, I got some small beers in my fridge, and I always regret that. The perfect dose for me is one big Belgian beer, but I kind of wanted more on this night. I was tilting, my blood pressure was up. I wasn't feeling good, and just due to have some fun, and I was being a fucking baby, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not, because I do think I have a rigorous schedule. I don't want to say a tough life, because I've got a good life, but I got a fucking tough schedule, and I don't know. I'm just trying to give you what it's like to be, you know, a poker vet of all these years, and trying to make your second comeback. And yeah, so I was thinking about this kid that I got a seat up there and how good he ran. He ran insane hot. He flopped sets and all that and held there, and his queen jack was good. If I have aces or kings, I think I take the exact same I'm 100% sure I take the exact same line, or even ace queen, probably. And yeah, I just do. And so I'm just thinking this kid owes me some action, because he kind of played solid and got to win 20K or whatever. And next time I don't get three sessions in up at Hustler and I need one at Oceans, he better come give me some heads up action. That's what I was thinking on this night. You know, nothing's for free. Someone gets you a seat and you win all the money, you owe them some action, at least heads up. And anyways, at 447.20, I limp ace nine of spades for 80. And I have 40, you know, this is pretty close after I just busted in that 26K pot. I limp for 80 and the game's just, it's been pretty out of hand from the beginning. Vegas Vin three bets every time. And Richard's played actually pretty solid, but Ted just has the most heart of anyone I've seen in a while. And Ernie doesn't, you know, he's there to have fun. He knows how to play. He knows what hands he should be folding and calling, but he doesn't give a shit. When you're rich, you don't give a shit. You live your life. And I don't know. So it just seemed like a good spot to limp the ace, nine of spades. They were raising huge. And Vegas Vin called. Ted made it 1,800. And so I'm just going to be playing for stacks here with ace, nine suited, which you don't always want to do. But in this game, you're happy to. And it gets back to me, and I go all in for the 47 and change. And Vegas Vin says, is the action open? And I started tilting a little bit. Of course the action's open. I don't know. I was just being a little bit grizzled in this moment. And he's asking the Josh kid, what would you do? And I'm like, oh my God, just hurry up. And he folded. And Ted looks at me and says, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Fold or call. And I'm like, what? And I was just wondering in this moment, why is he being so fucking cool to me? Is it, can he tell that like he's a rich guy and I'm a fucking guy on the grind and he just wants to give me a break because I just lost a huge pot? Is he just showing sympathy? I don't know. It just was weird. I said, if you're asking me, I prefer that you fold. I'm happy. You know, I think my ace nine is probably best, but it ain't that best because we each put in 1,800 and it's only like a little less than 3K for him to call. And he folded queen jack. And so it's just kind of, sometimes I believe in angels. Like one time I was having a really bad night at Ocean's 11. Maybe not in poker so much as life. And I went in the bar and this dude that looked like the singer from Weezer just bought me a beer. And it just made me feel good. And I later learned that it was a Patron. And we'd never met or whatever, but he just bought me a beer and just picked me up. And it just was interesting. Like, this is just such a, and I don't know what his reasoning was. I have no idea. Maybe he thought I had a bigger hand than I did. Who knows? I don't think he was scared of big hands. It was just really interesting. And maybe he was having a really human moment. Remember, I had one earlier, which made less sense, but maybe he was just like, well, I can tell that you were tilted after you lost that 26K pot. I don't know. So they ran the flop and it came ace high and there was also queen out there. And I started thinking, would he have got there? I think he had queen jack. Would he have got there? And that's just, I'm a little too focused on variance. And a lot of people have told me to not be. Try swinging as many times in your life as I have in poker and gambling. You just start to see the variance in real time. And, it's just, I talked about in one of the earlier sessions of the week where I wasn't going to 3-bet queen 10 suited, but I decided to. I think I just 3-bet, and so the game flow wasn't great for it, and I decided to, and it came deuce-deuce 4, and I ended up winning the pot just with a continuation bet, but there was a club out there. I had queen 10 of clubs, and anyways, when I 3-bet, I knocked out someone who would have flopped quads, so it's just... And you can sometimes let in someone who will get a cooler against you. And I just, it's hard for me to not think about all the different tentacles of variance. And, you know, if I'm running good, I still think about it. So let me take a sip of this Mountain Dew Zero. So perhaps feeling a little better, having a little perspective brought back. The reality is I can play these games. I didn't know that the first 10-20 game I was going to be playing was going to be 10-20-40-80-160 with the biggest fucking action players the show's seen on my left. I didn't know that. But the reality is I can play these stakes. I just have to, you know, change my mindset to like, okay, you're going to lose 26K pods. It had been a minute and like 5 years. And I don't know. So I felt better after I got that gift, basically a gift. He opened 1800 and folded to 47 something. And I said, I'm playing tonight until I run out of money. Isn't true. I wouldn't have gone through my whole roll, but I was going to play. I was going to go deep because this game is good and I just need to get my head out of my ass and start playing poker. And eventually I will. And if we just keep playing, and I want to start planting the seed now that, hey, this game don't end when they turn off the cameras. That's actually when it starts. And so I could see, I just, you know, when I was watching it back, I was like, oh, that's me trying to make sure the game's going to keep going. And then Darren gets a full double up with pocket kings, just all in preflop. And that's what can happen in these games. And Darren's a cool guy and played solid, and that's cool. And it's just, it's me and some rich guys, right? And it's always, that's how it always is with a poker pro at the table. And there's another poker pro at the table, but he just binked huge in the main event, so he's probably flush right now. But it's just, you know, you get, if you're gonna play with the rich guys, and you gotta fucking man up and just handle the swings like the rich guys do. And anyways, at 455-25, I complete the 80. So I'm the 40, Vegas Vin's the 80, and I guess the 160 is off in this hand, and it folds to me, and I put 40 out there with 8-5 of diamonds, and Vegas Vin throws 100, just squirts a white chip out there to make it 180, and I just make it 1080. Limp re-raised, like, no one likes to, you do not like to get limp re-raised. If you've been around, that is always strong. Well, I had 8-5, but fuck it. I'm ready to play poker now, and that's a huge raise. I don't give a shit. My hand sucks. I'm out of position. Let's see if you want to gamble now. Let's see, it, you know, I'm starting, is, you know, towards the end of the stream, I'm starting to play like me a little bit, and he folded queen, jack of diamonds. Fucking Dylan wouldn't have folded that shit, but Vegas Vin did. And at 457, it's this time, I think Richard didn't put the 80 on. I think, so it was 10-20-40. He went to 80, and then Ted went to 600, because Ted's Ted. Ted's the fucking best. And Ernie goes to 1,800, and then that kid Josh raises to what? I think he went to 4K with ace-king suited. I think this is very bad. I think it's very, very bad. I think you just call here with ace-king suited. He did end up folding correctly to the whatever it was. So that's the 3, but 4, the 6 bet he folded to. But it just kind of shows he's a, you know, tournament player where you just keep doing this. And you don't want to be folding ace-king suited in these games. Not like it's a bad look. It's a good fold. He ended up being against aces, I believe. Ernie had aces. But you just want to, with that hand, you want to let the action go back to Ted and let him jam and then make a decision. It's, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting, that was an interesting hand. I mean, it was a very disciplined and good fold to fold the ace-king suited when he got back to him. But I think he could have just called the 18 there. I don't know. It's just me watching the show and taking notes. At 5:07, so with 23 minutes left in the show, I stood up. I went to take a piss or whatever. And when I stood up, I could see this knot on my forehead. And I have a knot on my forehead that comes out when I am unrested, when I don't have enough sleep and I'm stressed. And there it was. And so it's not always there, but it's there sometimes. People say, did you hit your head? I said, no, I just haven't slept. And that's just it. I can't really get anything going towards the end of the stream. Raver makes a good bluff with Queen 10. I liked his sizing. I think he had a gut shot, and he bet enough to fold out anything good. Fold out anything not great, I should say. at 5:14 and change, Josh and Dylan start playing, I believe, a blind versus blind hand. And they're playing it like kids will play hands, very slowly. It's just taking way too long. It's fine if there's no action in the game. I guess it's fine. But if you have people jamming and making it 2K all the time, you just can't do this. And it was tilting me, the camera. I could see myself tilting. And they just took too long. And I told them, like, you guys can't do that. Like, you can't. No, understand what's going on. This is poker. Like, there are people making it 2,000 every hand down at the other end of the table, jamming 10,000 with air. And you're going to play this blind versus blind pot and, like, and just kill all the momentum the game has. And I don't know. I told them that, and I don't know what they think of it. I don't care either. It's just I'm not mad at them. It's just young pros young guys not knowing. Wait a second. In this game, like, you don't actually get to try that hard. And if you are going to try that hard, you don't get to take that much time. And you just don't. Like, stream or no stream, you just can't kill a game like that. And so I kind of, call them out for it. And then that was it for the show. I V-pipped 30%. I think I lost 5K in 5 hours. That's good. Lose 1K an hour. But I had to claw for that 30% V-pip. I didn't want it to be low. I think long term. And if I think I was kind of card dead most of the night. If I get a normal distribution, an average distribution, I'm not going to ever have to worry about VPIP because I'm always in there. I'm squeezing a lot and this and that. And I gamble, on purpose. I take the worst of it. But this was like, I don't always 3-bet 6 deuce suited to 1400 and put all my money in with 6 high, but I did. And I limp re-raise ace 9 off suit. I limp re-raise 8-5 suited. I was playing, I earned that 30%. It was a night. If this was the only session of poker I was ever going to play and I didn't care about being good for the game, my VPIP on this night would have been under 20. It would have. But I just forced it to be 30. And then they said, okay, the show's over. Give us your mics back. So you give your mic back to Brian and Lauren's in the box. And I'm like, okay, keep dealing. I don't want this game to lose its momentum because we're not filming anymore. And everyone who's winning wants to do fucking PLO flips. You motherfuckers. You guys want to do PLO flips? Go take your winnings somewhere else and do PLO flips. Some of us want to keep playing. And I felt like Dylan should have played. He didn't want to. Everyone that won wanted to go. It's fine. It's their prerogative. It might not get them a seat back, or at least it's not going to get me suggesting anyone, oh, give this guy a seat again. No. You win money. You win a bunch of money. You give action, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm just telling you how I was feeling. And we finally are playing some no limit. And I open with ace jack, and Richard calls, and Ted makes it 600. And I think this was just a 10, 20, 40 hand. And I called, and Richard called, and it came 7-6-5. And it's just going slowly, and that's okay. There's a lot of moving pieces. Some wags are coming in and pulling up seats, and some friends, and the box gets jammed. The drop box is jammed. And so I'm chasing. I want the action to keep going. I feel like if we just keep dealing, I'll settle down. And either way, I like my side, especially as it gets later in the night and more shorthanded. And the box is jammed, so I have to back out of my seat, the 9 seat, and they pull out the box. And what's jammed in the drop box is the all-in button. And it's like a needle from God. I'm pretty sure when they threw the all-in button in front of me with my 6 deuce, where I lost a 26K pot, somehow that got slid down the drop hole and blocked the box and slid down the game later on. Just pretty funny. I've never seen that before. And I actually got a laugh out of that. And Richard was crushing after the stream for a while. And I was just getting the death distribution. And just the worst thing, and I even tell people, like, My biggest fear right now is this game is going to die. I don't care like that you guys are winning every hand. I've given this rant a bunch, and I don't care, man. I've been around. I can give this rant. It's true. I just want to keep playing. And it's 300, six ways every hand. And when I can get in there, I'm whiffing. And then enter Johnny Stevens. He plays on the stream. He had played on this Tuesday night, the Tuesday night prior to this Wednesday, so the night before. And I feel like I know this guy because I feel like I know Jeremy. I feel like I know all these people because I've watched them like a fucking creeper. That's what you do when you're commentating. You're watching them. You're saying, what's going on with them right now? Are they steamed up? Are they a little intoxicated? Are they locking up a win? Are they scared to death of Garrett, which you see a lot, which is very fucking fair to, you know, he's not fun to play against. Yeah, I feel like I know Johnny, and I raved about him on Tuesday because he lost a ton and was having fun the whole time. And that's it, man. That's the end game, is to not give a shit. And he feels like he knows me because he watches the streams. And so I said, all right, man, have some drinks with us. And I didn't know if he was going to play with us or not. I just want to have some drinks with him. He reminds me of a childhood buddy. And I don't know. He just seems like a cool dude. And then this next note is pretty interesting. So I did have my phone. After the stream was over, I grabbed my phone to take notes. And I put with a asterisk in front of it, Johnny doubles me up by accident, $5,600 on the flop of 6-6 deuce, two clubs. I had ace, or was it even two clubs? Oh, I had ace-six of clubs. It was 6-6 deuce. I'm wondering if it was even a flush draw. I don't remember if it was a flush draw or not. We were drinking a lot. And I bet, and I was trying to target some middle pairs or whatever. I flopped trips after three betting preflop or whatever with ace-six finally. And Johnny said all in, and I snap called. Said, do you have deuces? Just because I expect to see deuces. And then he looked at his hand and he said, oh shit, I have 7-8. Thought he had 7-6, 7-8. The turn was a 9, interestingly enough, but I got the double. And the reason I put an asterisk in front of it is because it wasn't actually Johnny. It was Raver Poker, who was having a killer night and didn't leave because he gets the long term of this shit. You don't have your night and not give some action back, keep the game going. And it's smart. When you're up all the money, you're going to play your best. You're not going to tilt it off. You're going to win more. Whatever your win rate is goes up when you're up a bunch. It's basic, but, whatever. And so he actually, before this hand, went out and smoked with some of the entourage up there. And I guess it was some real strong shit. And so he read his hand wrong. He read his hand as 6-7 when it was 7-8 and just crammed it in there on 6-6 deuce. And then he was like embarrassed a little bit. And he's like, can you leave that out of the pot? And I said, I'll just fucking say it was Johnny. And Johnny's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to say that was you, man. You fucked up. You misread your hand. And we were just laughing about it. And so that's what the plan was going to be. I was just going to throw Johnny under the bus. And then, Raver ended up crushing. So he said, you know what, dude, tell the story. You always tell the story. Just tell it how it was. I went out and got way too high. I misread my hand and punted off 5,600. And so it wasn't actually Johnny. But at the table, I was like, dude, I'm throwing you under the bus, Johnny. Like, it's going to be you. It's going to be you that misread your hand and punted off 5,600. And he was just laughing and like, you calling me a motherfucker. And it's like, sorry, dude. Like, Raver doesn't want that out there about him. And I don't know. It's just kind of, it turned into a really fun game. Drinking, bullshitting, telling stories. Johnny, one of the patrons showed up and played in the game, and he was wearing a session shirt. And Johnny was asking about what that is. And I'm like, I don't even know if you'd like it, man. Like, it's, there's poker in there, but there's it's life story. It's a comeback story. And we bonded. He could relate to that in some ways, and I'm not going to share his story, but I was going to blame him. I was going to throw him under the bus and say that he misread his hand. Anyways, it was nice for me to get that double up. And Vegas Vin's still going strong, man. That guy has no quit in him. And he's just still three-betting me every fucking hand. And I finally got aces, and he three-bet, and people called. And I was able to four-bet to 3,000, and he called, and it came 10-7-6. And there's 6K in the middle. I had 8K left. And so that was right after I doubled for 5,600. I had about 11K, and I jammed 8K on 10-7-6 after making it 3,000. You got it, you got it. And we ran it twice and chopped. He had 7-8, so hit pair and gutter. I had the over pair, and you know, 22K pot. And so I'm playing bigger than 20K pots again, just suddenly. Like, it's not, it hasn't been a gradual get back to high stakes. It's a, no, you're playing 20K pots and bigger now. And it's cool. I like it. I think I was handling it fine for the most part late at night. And if you think about, if you know my story of the reason I do work every day, all day, is because I've been trying to tread water at the beginning of this comeback and then now start to climb out and pay. I've owed a few people some money, pay them back and start getting my shit in the right direction. And then start having some money and living a life and whatever. So that stress, you know, sometimes it shows on my face and sometimes it doesn't. And I think for the most part, I was handling it pretty well. And then there's 3K in the middle, and Richard binked a flush on me on the river. Okay. And then I opened King Queen and got three calls. So it was, that's 1,000 in the middle when you're playing 10, 20, 40, 80. And I flop. Kanye, tell him what I flop. Nothing right. That's right. Thank you. Kanye West helps me with this podcast, if you didn't know. Yeah, so I'm just telling the story of the session and not taking notes on every hand because sometimes it gets shorthanded. And when it's shorthanded, it's really hard to have my phone out because I'm keeping the game going by talking a lot and interacting and making it a good social experience for everyone. Imagine that. I'm not, you know, left hand, right shoulder, staring them down, fucking ask them if they'll show me if I fold. No, I'm not doing any of that bullshit. So, next note, 3K in the middle. Richard gets there again. And then I played a huge pot. I lost 9K in this hand. I just missed a flush draw on what I thought was an overcard in a multi-way pot that would have been like 40 or 50K. Maybe by the time it was all said, I lost 9,000 in that hand, just like calling with odds and not figuring I had no fold equity. So the game got pretty big at certain points, and some other people showed up, and unfortunately the patron that played ran death, but another person showed up and won a bunch. Just like, all you got to do is make one hand in this game, and you or have someone misread their hand, Johnny, and you know, you can win a bunch, and everyone who showed up and won a bunch had to leave. They always got to leave, and this is, you know, whatever. Okay, you go ahead, leave. Good luck, you know, getting action next time. I don't know. That's just the way it is. And so, I tweeted out. I was, Raver was up fucking heaps. I know, like, I don't know, but I imagine like an important number in his life, and he wasn't fucking leaving. No, he's going out and smoking weed with the entourage and coming back and misreading his hand. I respect that, and he ended up winning way more because of it. Yeah, and so I was in for 16,900. So I had to rebot for 5K after I got stacked on stream, and then I added another 5K. And just swinging a lot. I made it 300 with King Jack, and it came Jack 9-8 against Richard. And I checked back with King Jack on Jack 9-8, and the turn was an X, and he bet 500. And I raised 2,500. I kind of like this line where I raised the 300, and then I checked back to Jack 9-8 and induced a bet. I figured he had equity, and so I raised huge, 2,500. He called, there was an ace. He checked, I checked back, he had ace 10. So I can't beat this guy. But he was pretty cool, and he didn't quit either, despite being up a ton. And I had ace queen, clubs, nothing. And then three bet, ace queen of hearts, nothing. And then I called 3K on the river with pocket deuces on 5-5-3-10-ace. So I was starting to get locked, and you don't beat much there because I had bet the flop, and I was just pretty sure my opponent had 4-6 or 6-7 just by the way they bet the ace on the river. I didn't think they were trying to take me to value town rivering aces and fives. So that was nice. Calling 3K on the river there, won a nice pot. I had a twinge in my head that I should call here. And so, yeah, I folded aces earlier in a spot where people just don't bluff hardly, but they always bluff when the river's an ace. So I call with deuces, and if they have the ace, they size differently and whatever. And it was nice. And then I flopped a set. I finally fucking flopped a set at hour 10 or 11 in the session, and I won a lot. And I had a 20K stack again. So I was winning and enjoying some beers and really good company and really good gamblers in this game. Vegas Vin's a good gambler. Richard's a good gambler. Ernie's a good gambler. Raver's a fucking good gambler. Johnny's a good gambler. And then all the people that hit and ran, they're tucked in bed by now. So the next note is I missed nut flush draw. And then I started running, lame for a while, a really shorthanded game. Johnny left. Raver finally left. And it was just me, Vegas Vin, and Ernie. And I just, I was running bad, and I put out second-guessing myself, and I don't like that. We know our first instinct or our first decision is correct. I don't know why we go beyond that, but we do. Maybe because we've been running in the tops of ranges or whatever, and I don't know. And, it's 300. These guys are making – they're opening 300 dark. This is a big fucking game, three-handed. And I'm having to fold a lot, and finally I get queen four diamonds, and I what did I do? I somehow limped re-raise. So when I limped and I re-raised queen four diamonds, and Ernie stuffed what was about 20K effective, and I folded, and he showed me ace jack offsuit. This game is just fucking wild. If you can run pure, you can win. You could change your whole life in a session like this. And I used to love this shit. And then I binked. And then the next note is Vin binks. And I'm stuck again. And then I hit a two outer. Raver, I have my... This one was when Raver and Johnny were still there. I three bet with pocket eights. So this hand's just out of sequence. But I three bet with pocket eights. And Raver called out of position. And so did Johnny. And it came ace-ace-x, and Johnny led into me, and I called. And it was like ace-ace-deuce, and I had eights. And Raver called, and I didn't like that. When Raver called, because Johnny bet kind of big, I felt like I was dead. And the turn was an X, and they both checked. I checked back, and the river was an 8. I hit the binker, the two-outer on the river, and they checked me again. I bet 5K over pot, and I got paid. It's funny, I won a couple big pots against Raver, and he won so much money on this night. He was just crushing. And he had an ace. I think he had ace 9 or something. So then it was three-handed. And I was losing and winning 10K pots. And, I was really tired and been drinking all night. And the alarm kept going off on this night for whatever reason at the Hustler. It was just kind of surreal. I'm playing bigger again now. And I'm not going to beat myself up for not being totally at ease first time in 5 years playing bigger again. No, I mean, why would I? Especially given my schedule and all that. No, I can't beat myself up for that. Then I made a play that I made back in the day. I called a bunch with ace high on the river, called over 2,000 on the river with ace high, and I won a 10K pot. That doesn't suck. And I called pocket deuces, 500. They start opening for 500. I was drinking black coffee at this point. It was, you couldn't drink anymore. And now it's time to drink black coffee so you can start driving. This is live pro shit. You got to plan when you're before you drive home. Okay, I got to stop drinking beer and cocktails. And I got to go to just caffeine and water and black coffee. And I got pocket aces, and they both folded, and then A new dealer was coming in, and I think Ernie said, I can maybe go one more dealer. And I said, you can just call it now, because my head was really starting to hurt. And we decided to call it at 4 a.m. And so that's 12 hours of play. And I won. I won about $200 an hour. So nothing life-changing for me, but a nice session of battling when you're not playing your best and you're out of sorts. And you just keep battling all night and get, you know, probably play pretty well shorthanded. Never give your A game, because that's bad for the game. And just kind of, you know, keep battling, and you're going to make some hands eventually, and you're going to make some good calls and whatever. And so let's check the scoreboard, the countdown to 2023 scoreboard. And that means if we put 2023 points on this board or more in this year, in 2022, we're going to have this podcast again in 2023. This is me setting goals for myself at the beginning of every year to justify how much work I put into my projects. You have to see some fruits, or you're just, you know, if you're a fucking a man with a lot of expenses and in debt. And so what if you love podcasting? If it's not going to get you where you need to go, you can't justify it. And so that's what the scoreboard's about. This is already week 11 of 50. So 22% of the way through the journey of session season 5. And I played 22 hours this week. I played 5 on Monday in the game I hosted Hustler, 5 on Tuesday in the game I hosted Hustler, and Monday's 5-5-10 and at 11 a.m. and Tuesday's 10-20 at 11 a.m. And I played 12 hours in this one. So it's nice to catch up on some hours, and I'm now ahead of pace. I have 169 hours on the year. Of the pace right now is 165. I'm 4 ahead of that in the quest to get to 750 hours this year, which is not a ton for a live pro, but it's a ton for a live pro in his 985th year with 11 careers, which is my story. So the next line is W's. And for every win, we get 5 points. And for every loss, lose 5 points. Won 2 sessions and lost 1. So get 5 points. And that's the goal, is to win 2 out of 3 on average. And we're right on pace. We have, after 11 weeks, we have 55 points. Pace is 55. Won 22 sessions and lost 11. So just right on pace when it comes to wins and losses for sessions. Stuff is important. Yeah, and it's about what I finished at last year. And ever since I stopped playing really long sessions, that's about what I've done. I've won 2 out of 3 sessions forever. It was 3 out of 4 when I was a new pro, for sure. That was, you know, whatever. But ever since then, it's been 2 out of 3. That's, if I can maintain that while also building all these other income streams as a commentator, hosting, as a podcaster, as an entrepreneur with poker rags, well, then it's all good. And so also another thing I'm trying to do is build a base of patrons, people who want to pay for my content, and give them good perks. And not only do they get 840 hours of spew, including interviews with Garrett and all these people that people want to hear from, Matt Berkey, Marley, Doug Polk, I could go on and on. Well, they get all that they get an RSS feed to every drop of sessions, all the old ones, all the new ones. You might have noticed this is the only public one this week. Well, there were also 2 other ones this week where I played at the Hustler and talked about those sessions and my life and whatnot. And those are just for patrons. And then I also give them a community that's fucking insane. And anyways, let's see how we did. Kathleen signed up. Thank you, Kathleen. That's 4 points. Then someone deleted. And when they delete, they can put what the reason is. And if they put financial reasons, then I feel better. When they put some other reason, I know I triggered them with something I said in a pod. And that's okay. I'm going to trigger people occasionally. You cannot talk as much as I do. I talk so... I'm a fucking blabbermouth. I commentate. I podcast. At the table, all I do is talk. You're going to trigger. You're going to say something that offends someone. I don't ever mean to. I don't have really any beliefs other than we're all equal. But whatever. I fucking triggered someone probably, and that's okay. Nick W. signed up. 4 points. And then someone deleted. -4. And they didn't put a reason. So I don't know. And then Jack and Kevin signed up. That's 8 points. And then two deadbeat patrons paid their child support, their monthly child support. No. Two patrons with declined cards fixed their cards. And so from week to week, if I go up in total amount of patrons, for each one, I get 4 points. And for each one I go down, it's minus four. Well, we netted four patrons, two new ones, two fixing their cards. That's 16 points, and we're crushing this line. We're at 220 points out of 132. I would love to blow this one out of the water. This is my salary, or one of my salaries. It's my podcasting salary. Okay, let's check to see what we did at Poker Rags. And PokerEggs.us is my startup, and it's been great working with Nick and Ryan and everyone at High Stakes Poker Productions and Sean at Hustler and Hustler Casino Live and all that. But the way you get points on my board is ordering from my page. So Hustler Casino Live has a page. High Stakes Poker Productions has a page. We have our brands that, you know, Straddle and The Punter. I think The Punter is the best design. I think we need to market that one better. We got the eye test. We got I'm Just Running Bad. And then we have people like me on Team Poker Rags, where we work with someone in content and we chop up the profits. And so we get points. I get points on the board off of my page. And it's been slow this year. And I have ideas for that. I just haven't had the energy or the time to really focus on it. But a patron named Jose Skin in Martinsburg, West Virginia, put a point on the board by buying something off my page. Thank you, Jose. And Sound Guy, do we have an MVP chant? You'll look into it? I need it right now. You don't have it. Fuck off? Jesus. Okay, so I'll do it next time if there's an MVP. An MVP is someone who orders three items off of my page or more. And we do have a most valuable purchaser at Poker Rags for week 11 of season 5. And that is another patron from Gig Harbor, Washington. Why not AP? Ordered three items off my page. I appreciate it. That's 4 points in the week. We're at 31 points on the year. Pace is 93. We're way behind here. It's okay. We're crushing in other areas. And yeah, we're 62 points behind pace. But maybe I'll come up with a new sick design for the second half of the year or something like that for sessions. Or I'll figure something else out. Either way, here's the number that matters. The countdown to 2023. Will we get to 2023 points by the end of the year? Well, the deadline, I think, is December 20th. Will we get there and thus have a season 6 of sessions where the stress has been eroded because I've paid people off? I'm paying people off this year, and I'm going to start living my life at some point. Just first, I'll stop feeling the stress, and then that'll make me deliver better content, play better poker, that. And anyways, I like documenting my story. And so the pace right now is 445 points after 11 weeks. And we got 475 points, 30 points ahead of pace. We got a sweat, but we're doing all right. Okay, that's it. Until next time, peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.